Welcome to Muddy River News this week. I'm Bob Goff. Glenn Sanders is my guest. He is with the Quincy Area Bay Restoration Project. That's the short way to say it, right?
Right.
Well, you know, Glenn, you and I were involved in this once upon a time when we first got this thing going, when I was on the park board, and we got you on board as part of the Cubera committee. And boy, that only seems like yesterday, but you guys have really come a long way.
It's been about a 7-year process, 8 years almost now, and to be where we're at right now, could not be happier.
What does this project mean for the region?
It's going to be big because these projects with the Corps, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, this is the end of it, you know, end of the project, you know, this is what we're going to get. But in reality, a lot of times the Corps goes into multi-phases of the projects. So this is just the start of the good things for the people here in the area that enjoy going to the river, that enjoy wildlife. It's going to be big. We're going to see fishing tournaments coming back to Quincy, and we may never see the boat races come back, but there's going to be a lot of good things happening down there for a lot of people. It's going to be a good draw, and it's not going to be just in our immediate area, because this is going to restore the bay as a nursery, basically, for fisheries. And the fish aren't going to stay in Quincy Bay after they're born. They're going to be going down the river. They're going to be going up the river. It's going to be big for everybody up and down a number of different river pools here.
And this affects just with our, in our base, in our pool, we're talking 1,000 acres, right?
This is a 2,200 acre project.
2,200 acres. So what, there was some portion when I went to the hearing, there was like roughly between 900 acres and 1,000 of that. What component of that was that then?
That was the difference between water acres and land acres.
Got it. Okay.
The project basically encompasses everything from the foot of Quincy Island to Napides Road.
Well, again, just that crowd that you had a couple of weeks ago at that public hearing, that was really something to behold. I know when I walked in there, I had something else going on, got in a couple minutes late, and not a empty seat in the house.
No, it was really a plus moment when they had to start bringing in more chairs. And even then, it was standing room only in the back. The core people, you know, were just ecstatic with the number of people that turned out. I thought the crowd was very well educated and engaged in the process. Very good questions, and I think the Corps staff and the DNR staff and everybody was able to answer their questions. The comments I've got back from people since then was they were very impressed with how well prepared the Corps staff was to answer their questions.
I mean, and you had significant Corps people here too. It's not like you just had a bunch of office jobbers. You had like people here who were in charge of this project.
Right. Basically, we had everybody from the project design team that's been working on this for the last several years. On a monthly basis, we've been meeting and going over all the different options for the Bay Project. And so everybody, you know, may not have already been on the Quincy Bay itself, but they've been working on the project from the office. So they all knew what they were talking about, whether it was the hydrology people, the engineering people, the folks from wildlife. Everybody pretty well knew what we were dealing with that night.
This is something that, you know, you talk about the 7 or 8 year process, but this has been something that has been a much longer time coming. What do you think finally made the Corps really give this project the green light?
Well, I think there was a couple of big milestones in the project. One, we learned how little real input the public had on these other projects. They've done 66 of these projects between the St. Louis District and Rock Island, and the public really hadn't did the PR thing on the Corps before, like we did here. Mississippi Valley, we did a effort to get people to send individual letters because that means so much more than a petition does, for example. And it was really kind of interesting to see the lead guy on the project, Marshall Plumley. The very first thing he said was, I remember getting 4,000 letters from the people here in Quincy and the paper cuts I got opening all those envelopes. So that was one of the big things that we did. And then after all those letters were sent out, Mr. Plumley did make a trip down here to Quincy, and I took him on a tour of the area around Quincy Bay. And we showed him what we've done at Bangert. We showed him what the Park District has done with the Green Quarter up Cedar Creek. We showed him what the private landowners and some of the Mississippi Valley Hunter and Fishermen projects north of the Quincy Bay for wildlife habitat. We showed him all that. And I basically, you know, my summary for him was, look, we've done everything we possibly can here on the private lands and on the public lands that we control. We're taking care of nature here ourselves. You're basically the slumlord. And that's what I told him. I said, the Corps is not taking care of their property out here. And I think that those two things really got Marshall on board, and he's been one of our biggest advocates since then. And then another big turning point was the fact we were able to get all of our politicians to work together. I can't say enough about Pat Suitors. He was from Quincy. He grew up on Quincy Bay. Senator Durbin, you know, he's the chief of staff for Senator Durbin. So there wasn't a lot of explaining stuff to Pat. He was able to relay it to Senator Durbin, Representative LaHood's office, Congresswoman Miller's office. Everybody got together and worked together in a bipartisan way, and that doesn't happen nowadays very often.
No, it certainly doesn't, that's for sure. What's the final price tag on this thing?
Well, that's going to be determined by the engineers. Right now, the whole project goes to a core office out in Washington, the state, not
D.C.
D.C., and they'll do the engineering cost estimates from there. But that was something that also was unique about this Quincy Bay project, is the project design teams for these various habitat projects up and down the river, they go all the way from what they call the minimal project to the maximum project, and then there's four options in between those. So you come out with a total of six. And one of the IDNR guys that's worked on these projects for over 20 years, he said this is the first time that they've ever seen the Corps go with the maximum project.
So you got the spinning rims, you got the AC, you got the power windows, the whole nine yards.
We're going to be riding in the Cadillac. We actually were referring to the Cadillac as the Cadillac version.
And I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood, what, $40 million or something like that, when it's all said and done.
Right. We had originally asked for $25 million, and we found out in core budgets, that's not a whole lot of money.
Wow.
And the last cost estimates that they had, once we included removing the island from down in the lower Quincy Bay and a couple other add-ons, moved that up to $41 million.
For years we've heard, got to close the cut through, got to close the cut through, got to close the cut through. They're not closing the cut through, but they're fixing it, right?
Right. There's been a number of issues that we've had to work around. For example, the lower Quincy Bay is actually part of the National Rivers and Harbors Act. And because they had spent money years and years ago, I'm talking back in the 1800s, to remove log jams, we were bound that we couldn't do certain things in that area, that it had to be an appropriation from Congress. Well, they tried that route a couple times to get the Quincy Bay fixed, and it crashed and burned. So we had to deal with things like that. And the cut through itself, that was actually an act of Congress, a pork barrel project that created that. So it takes an act of Congress to deactivate that project. So we can't go in and close the cut through. What's the next best thing? The Corps learned from their mistakes on the first time it was put in. So that's actually a pretty good chunk of the money we're going to be spending is to redo that cut through properly, to put wing dams to force the sand away from the cut through, and to allow only 3 foot of water in a notch to come through. We have to maintain a flow through there. And the reason being is until Quincy is able to deal with their storm sewer system, there's four of those outlets come out in Quincy Bay. And without free flowing water coming into the bay after a big rain event, all the dead raccoons that are out there in our storm sewers right now are sitting in Quincy Bay. So
makes the fish happy though, right?
Well, it makes catfish happy, sure. But you know, the city's working on a long-term plan to deal with that issue. But until that happens, the last thing we want to do is to spend all this money making Quincy Bay great again, and then all of a sudden we have the storm sewers dump out a bunch of stuff into the bay that just sits there.
The nice thing is that that I heard at the hearing was the fact that once this project is complete, and I'm going to ask you about the timeline later, but once it's complete, the Corps just doesn't walk away. They're going to keep an eye on this for a while.
Right. The way the program operates, and they've again, they've learned this over all the years they've done these type of projects, is they don't usually get, I won't say they don't usually get it right, but they do make mistakes in their projects. So after the construction is done, the Corps has a 10-year period then to continue studies of the bay and fix anything that's not functioning the way the engineers design it, and that's great.
What's the timeline?
Right now, unless we hit some type of major roadblock, construction is scheduled to start within 2 years.
And it will be completed when?
2 years later.
Wow. You had joked about this, and you and I have talked about this a few times, that you still kind of pinching yourself a little bit, that this is actually going to happen?
Yes, definitely, because I'm 68 years old. So 50 years ago, I was on the Quincy College research boat when I first started college, because the university had a research study going on the sedimentation problems in Quincy Bay. So that's fast forwarding 50 years just in my time frame that they've been looking at this issue, looking at the problems, knowing we got a problem, and we're finally to the point where we're going to start doing some work and get things back.
Well, again, I want to thank you and the rest of the Cubera team, and I know the Park District. This has been a big lift, and it's been something that's important. It's been something that's been needed. And I think when you look at this and the fact that, yes, the Corps green-lighted this and committed at least $40 million to it in a time when you can't get two people from different parties to agree on the color of this Sharpie, that's saying something. And thank you for doing all that. You and that team for doing all that work.
Well, while we've had great bipartisan efforts all the way up and down the line on this project, Quincy itself has killed the project a number of times with the rumor mills and things like that, and we were better prepared for that this time. That's one of the great things about social media, that I don't have to run from tavern to tavern straightening out a rumor. We can now get on social media and get the message out when the incorrect information is out there. Now, I know not everybody's happy about the Bay Project. You know, we've got a few people.
How can you not be happy about it?
Well, there are a few people that over the years, they don't like when the boats are able to run up and down the bay. They don't like the sound of the gunshots when duck season opens up. And, you know, they've done their little thing, and it's been like a game of whack-a-mole. Every time they surface with something to try to kill the project, we try to straighten the correct information out with the public.
It's a river. You boat, hunt, and fish. That's what you do on a river.
It's the reality of dealing with people. I started out, my first job was in Kroger's. I learned when you're dealing with people, you're going to have good days, bad days, and good people and bad people. So.
And you went from Kroger's to the smooth-running outfit that is the state of Illinois for many years.
Kroger's is a whole lot easier to figure out.
Glenn Sanders, I want to thank you for your time.
Okay.
Well, that's all the time we have for Muddy River News this week. I want to thank you for watching, and again, thank Glenn Sanders for being a part of this program. Remember, you can watch this on muddyriver.tv or on YouTube, where you can catch the rest of our Muddy River lineup. Again, I'm Bob Goff. We'll see you next week.